Yo, what's going on, Wrestling Universe? It's your boy, TK, the Wrestling Index, in the house, and I am back with another episode of the Wrestling Index podcast, and I'm excited to be here. It's been about a month since I've done a podcast on my own. I've been all over the place. I've been on the Front Face Lock podcast, talking wrestling every week with my guys, the Wrestling Idiots. My guys over at Front Face Lock, World Elite, Maddie Daddy, Universal Podcast, Justin Time, Bishop, Glorified, Bakely, Cage. It's been such a good time doing that every single week. And I've had a couple other guest spots on shows. I got a couple other guest spots coming up. And I started the Floor Slappers podcast, which has been a long time coming. Sports podcast with my guys, the Mikes, Mike Dog, and my guy Mikey Streets, and we do that every Monday night. It's released late Monday. You can catch it pretty much early Tuesday morning. We're talking all things sports. This week we talked NBA playoffs. Last week we did MLB predictions. There's always a little bit of Chicago White Sox flavor in there, and you're like, who the fuck wants to listen to Chicago White Sox chatter? It's just quick weekly segment. It's a really fun time. We got good laughs, good sports content. It's definitely something that I would check out if you enjoy sports and a good time. And you can check that out at floorslappers.com. We got the website. It's up and running. You can catch every episode we've had so far. We're 5 episodes in. Which is awesome. Me and Mike have been friends for such a long time. And, you know, this show has been a long time coming. Just 3 friends, 3 Chicago sports fans, like, God bless our souls, talking sports. You know, some other things. We talked to Will Smith, Chris Rock, slap heard around the world. That was a really good conversation. And, you know, we'll talk sports. MLB right now just started, NBA playoffs, and of course, NFL is always king, fantasy's king, and be on the lookout for floorslappers.com. It's going to be good sports content in addition to our podcast. My guy Mike Dog is going to be dropping some NBA parlays, some single game bets that you might want to dabble with. I'll have some list content on there, rankings, that kind of stuff, some cool blog stuff. And Streets will be dropping some fantasy flavor, you know, some baseball rankings, lists, fantasy football stuff all over the place. So Floor Slappers podcast and floorslappers.com. Check it out, guys. I greatly appreciate that. Any love would be greatly appreciated. And we're here to talk wrestling. And since we've done this show, there has been so much news, so much wrestling. The last episodes we did were talking Stone Cold potentially coming and talking Cody potentially jumping ship. And first and foremost, I'll go ahead and I'll just eat that crow right now, because if you listen to that episode, I said Cody absolutely is not jumping over to WWE. He is going to go be the general manager of this new ROH show that AEW just bought. Now, fuck me, right? I was dead wrong. Dead wrong. Cody jumped. Why wouldn't he jump? Triple H retired. That was very, very sad news. AEW and ROH, they had their first big show, the Supercard of Honor. That was awesome. And where the show is going to start today, will be a little bit of somber news. You know, obviously it's not news at this point. You know, it's been a couple of weeks, almost a month, with the passing of Scott Hall. I love Scott Hall. I love Razor Ramon. You know, I knew Razor Ramon before we knew Scott Hall, as most kids did. I grew up in the 90s. So Razor Ramon was introduced to me very young in my life. And, you know, I loved the machismo. I loved the toothpick. You know, he was so cool. And, you know, I didn't really remember heel Razor Ramon too much. I remember him more as being that baby face. I remember him losing to the 1-2-3 kid and then that kind of turning him face. But when you're young like that, you don't realize face turns, who's a good guy, or you know who's a good guy and who's a bad guy, but you're not sitting there deep diving into who's turning, why are they turning. You're just looking at characters, and I always thought this guy was like larger than life. He was so freaking cool, and I love them. You know what he did? He ended up teaming a little bit with 1-2-3 Kid down the road, and everything he did around the Intercontinental Championship in the WWF was so cool. The ladder matches with Shawn obviously were awesome. I remember it was SummerSlam 1994 where he wrestled Diesel for the Intercontinental Championship, and he had Walter Payton in his corner. And that was always really cool to me because Chicago guy, I love Sweetness. It was actually at my great uncle's, basically the guy who raised my grandma, my great uncle's funeral the same day. And then we went home and my grandpa ordered SummerSlam for us. And, you know, just one of those memories. It's one of those like weird random like things that stick in your head. And, you know, let's show the Undertaker versus Undertaker match. That was the Bret and Owen steel cage match. But I always remember a little bit of Sweetness on that show. And that was cool to me. And that was with Razor, you know, Sweetness with Razor. I remember the ladder match and Razor walking under the ladder. That was so cool. I like when Shawn Michaels had to relinquish the Intercontinental Championship because he got the shit kicked out of him by those Marines at that bar. And Dean Douglas was saying, "Now the title's mine." Of course it's not. You're not a part of the clique, bro. You're a nobody. You're a nothing. Get the fuck out of our company. And Razor came out, took the Intercontinental Championship, and was like, "Eh, it's my belt. It is what it is." Like, who could forget the shit he did jumping over? I mean, he was the guy. When he showed up on WCW television as a kid, I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And like, this is like right around as the internet started. So we're not on there. The dirt sheets aren't, you know, at least for me, I'm not seeing these dirt sheets. And more importantly, I'm not like knowing what's going on. So I'm like, holy crap, how is Razor Ramon on Nitro? And then he started the whole thing with the NWO. He was the innovator behind it. He was the catalyst, and he talked, and everything he said was so articulate and so well done, the way he can get the crowd into it. And, you know, then bringing the big guy in, and then the medium-sized Mang, and they did the thing with the three guys. They expanded. I'm one of the weirdos who was a big fan of the World War III Battle Royals, the 60-man Battle Royal. I like how Scott Hall did get the win there. It was in the 1997, and then he went on to wrestle Sting in February at Super Brawl for the championship there. He was a good United States champion for WCW. He multi-time tag team champion, held them all but the big one. And, you know, I just think that was more of a testament to who he was, that he didn't need to hold the big one. You know, he was that top of the mid-card guy. I think he could have been a world champion. He had it all. He oozed machismo. He was a five-tool player. He was great in the ring, strong as a bull, great look, great on the stick. Scott Hall, rest in peace. Gone, but never forgotten. And, yeah, it's tough to move on from there. But we had the Scott Hall news, and then Triple H retiring. And, you know, we knew, but, you know, we don't know shit. But the rumors were Triple H had, you know, something put in his chest and wasn't going to be able to go again. And he confirmed it on ESPN with Stephen A. Smith. And that's a big blow to think that Triple H's last match was a match in that Saudi Arabia with Randy Orton. It wasn't a bad match, but it was just really random. It would have been nice to give him a farewell. His final WrestleMania match was that match against Batista. And that was a really fun match. Now I'm questioning myself, but I'm fairly certain that his last WrestleMania match was WrestleMania 35 against Batista. He had a hell of a run. He's one of the best of all time, top 15, top 20 of all time. I got in our, we did a WWE champion rankings, and not like the best of all time, but the best WWE champion of all time. And there were certain things that went into that. And Triple H was fourth of all time. I mean, he's up there with the GOATs, with the greats. And he will be missed. WrestleMania 28 was like the last big, I shouldn't say the last big moment, because I like what he did with WrestleMania 31 with Sting, and I like what he did with Kurt Angle and Steph and Rousey. I think that was at, I'm going to say that was 34. And obviously, he had the title match with Reigns, and he had the match with Brock, but, you know, that Taker, the Hell in a Cell, that was incredible. You know, that was absolutely incredible. And I don't know, it's just, I don't think Triple H should have broke his streak there, but, oh man, if it wasn't going to be Punk, I don't know what it did for Lesnar, but I guess that's a topic for a show for a whole nother day. But it had, that match had that near fall heard around the world, with the super kick turning in the pedigree to the 1-2-2 and a man. The story is Triple H told, one of the best to ever do it, and he will be missed. So those are like two big blows to the wrestling community, especially the Scott Hall blow that hurts. Triple H is still involved in the wrestling scene. We'll see what he's doing with WWE. Seems to be active again. But again, you know, what do I know? I'm not backstage with them. Now let's move on to WrestleMania. WrestleMania was awesome, baby. Should we talk about ROH Supercard of Honor first, or we should talk WrestleMania? You guys want to talk WrestleMania first, right? Yeah, WrestleMania. WrestleMania was great. It really was. I'm not going to sit here and break down every match, but the show was so much fun. It sucks that Rick Boogs got hurt to start the show, but the entrance was absolutely electric. And there was a good tag team title match. Drew and Corbin, I finally got around to it. I said on the Front Face Lock podcast on Thursday when we were doing our review show, you should check it out on their YouTube page. I said I hadn't seen it yet. And they're like, how are you going to review a show and say you hadn't seen it yet? But I hadn't seen it yet, which I just didn't find it necessary to see that match. But I digress. That Corbin and Drew match was pretty solid. It was good for what it was. And then, you know, like I said, I'm not gonna go match by match, but there's just like key things that I want to point out. Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair absolutely tore the house down in their match. That match easily could have been match of the night, still kind of is match of the night. And this is a night where you had a Stone Cold Steve Austin return, a Cody Rhodes debut. Or I guess a Cody Rhodes return and a Stone Cold Steve Austin return after 19 years. And this match, Bianca versus Becky, tore the house down. It could have easily, and I mean easily, been the match of the night. But I think the match that followed that with Seth and Cody overtook it. Both of those matches were so good. It's just so tough for me. So tough for me to pick a match of the night, and I guess I don't really have to, but Becky and Bianca was so good. The story that those two women told us from start to finish was great, and it really showed the long-term storytelling that WWE did here. From SummerSlam to WrestleMania, they told the story, and if you caught anything that I had to say, really from December to now, I've been screaming, this is all about Bianca. The story was being written for Bianca. The reason that Becky kept cheating to beat Bianca is because they wanted Bianca to go over her and get the big win at WrestleMania. See, things you don't think about when you're a kid. You just think about wrestling and enjoy it. But when you're an adult and you look too much into it, you realize things like this. And you realize that WWE wants, if Becky's going to lose, she's going to lose on a big stage. That's why I never believed that Liv Morgan was going to be the one to beat her. Because they've been telling this Bianca Belair story since SummerSlam, since 26 seconds, since the dirty roll-ups, since the cheating. And then the Survivor Series solo win for Bianca puts her over even more. The Royal Rumble, I thought she'd win. She didn't look bad, obviously. She looked good in the Royal Rumble match. And then, of course, she was going to be the one to win the Elimination Chamber match. And, of course, she was going to be the one to beat Becky. And the match was great. The storytelling was awesome. The end of the match, the segment, the sequence was so good. A little bit of possum. I forget what move Becky went for, but ultimately ended up in the KOD and Bianca getting the 1-2-3 and getting the win and getting the back-to-back WrestleMania Women's Championship wins. And that was awesome. And you're like, damn, how, what are you going to do to follow that? And it's Seth's turn, and Seth's dancing and doing his thing. Lights go out, lights go black. And it's like, oh, is it The Fiend? Is it The Undertaker? No, of course not. It's Cody. Damn, that crowd pops so hard, okay? That crowd pops so hard. I couldn't believe it. He had 70,000 people just eating out of his palm. And that's what made me, like, it reassured a point that I had. And here's the point on Cody. And it's kind of jaded to say, Cody in AEW is a mid-carder for life. It's that simple. He's a mid-carder for life. Now, in WWE, Cody has main event potential. And you're like, how is that even possible? WWE is supposed to be the big leagues compared to AEW. WWE is supposed to be the big leagues, period, right? But Cody was offered $500,000 to stay in the WWE 6 years ago to dance around with the fucking makeup and a star on his face. He said, fuck you. I'm going to leave. I'm going to gamble on myself. He went and he won championships in Japan. He won the NWA World's Championship. He won a championship in Impact Wrestling. And then he went and started his own damn company and was the catalyst behind it. He was the one who put this team together of the Bucks and Kenny and Khan. And was the foundation behind what AEW became. Now, why is it that he would only be a mid-carder, you ask, in his own company? And that's because Cody Rhodes is only a mid-card talent. But when you bring Cody Rhodes, the guy who left WWE, banked on himself, won all these championships, opened his own company into an entertainment-driven company like WWE, it shows how great Cody actually is as far as the whole picture and the whole realm goes. Cody in AEW was boring as shit, okay? You have what AEW does, and then you have the Codyverse, where God knows what was going on in the Codyverse. In WWE, Cody could actually have his own Codyverse in a 3-hour Raw, and it makes sense, and it's fine, and it'll flow with the show. Cody's a big enough name now because he did what he did. He was Cody Rhodes and was mildly successful. United States champion, Intercontinental champion, tag team champion. I'd say that's pretty successful, but he couldn't win the big one. And then they put a star on his face and put paint on his face. And then he left and he did what I said. He killed it in Japan, NWA World's Champion, killed it in Impact, started his own damn company. And he just couldn't get over in AEW. And then he put that stupid stipulation in place. But at the end of the day, in AEW, Cody should never be the world champion when you got guys like Jon Moxley and guys like Wardlow coming and MJF and Malakai Black, and Andrade, Adam Cole, you got Hangman. You got such talent there that should be pushed over a guy like Cody Rhodes. Now, in WWE, you could say the same thing. Roman Reigns is the top dog. You had Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Edge, AJ Styles. These guys are bigger than Cody. But Cody's story is a huge deal right now, all right? He's the first to leave AEW and go to WWE, but he's not only the first to do it, he is the originator of the fucking company. The guy who started the company is leaving, has left to go to WWE. And that's a huge deal. And he was offered 10 times the amount he was offered the first time he was there. Huge success, star, book it, bank it, put the world championship on him. Maybe it's not now. Maybe it's a slow build. Maybe he loses a couple times. You got Seth and Cody too coming up. And, you know, we'll finish our WrestleMania talk right here and talk about that match. But we got Seth and Cody too coming up at WrestleMania Backlash. Maybe Cody starts and he loses this match. I wouldn't necessarily agree with Cody losing already. I think that would be fucking crazy. But it's definitely a possibility with that match coming up. But I hope that makes sense. What I was trying to explain as far as Cody being a mid-carder. He's a mid-carder in his own company. I mean, I didn't even mention Kenny, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk. I get WWE. You got 8, 9, 10 guys bigger than him. But the aura of him, his star, the Cody show, is better on a WWE stage. He's perfect for that entertainment stage. And you could also catch my take. Go back and listen to it on the Front Page Slack podcast that we did the other day, my WrestleMania take. I was just spitting. I was surmised it perfect there. I hope I summed it up good here. But I think the trade of Cody Rhodes for everybody that AEW's gotten is going to be perfect for both companies. I think AEW doesn't lose anything losing Cody, and I think WWE gains a huge star in Cody. And, you know, again, this is coming from a guy who said Cody is mid-card for life, but maybe not mid-card for life in the WWE. Maybe he can be that star. Because, again, in WWE, the roster isn't deep. AEW, you're 70 deep right now. WWE, you're looking like 20, 30 legitimate guys at most. Cody could be one of them. He's still young. He's got a bright future. I'm really excited to see what he can do, and I'm pretty certain he's going to be WWE champion at some time in this calendar year or by WrestleMania 39. That potential Rock Roman match might not need the WWE championship. So we could see maybe Cody Seth 3 for the WWE championship, something along those lines. But I'm really excited for the move. Cody debuting. And then, of course, they put on a classic. The match was so good. The three crossroads. And then you thought it was over. And nope. Cody stops it. Does the dusty shuffle into the bionic elbow. Awesome. Feel good moments. Gave me goosebumps. I love the American Dream. Anyone who knows me knows I love the American Dream, daddy. Can't do great voice, but love the American Dream, baby. And then after that, that match was surrounded by the women's title matches. You had Charlotte and Ronda. I liked the match. I took it for what it was. I didn't expect the match to be anything but sloppy. So for what my expectations were, I thought it was fine. Everyone was upset on the show that it wasn't a 5-star match. And I was like, I don't know why the fuck you guys thought it was going to be a 5-star match. So the match was what it was. It was kind of physical. It was sloppy and a very odd, unexpected ending, which actually made me like it a little bit more because I had no expectations that Charlotte was going to win. So when Charlotte got the win at the end, I was like, holy shit, crazy. And then of course, the main event. What the fuck? Stone Cold Steve Austin, after 19 years, comes out of retirement. That was dope, dude. That was so cool. They fought over the arena. He was taking suplexes on padded mats around the arena. That was super dope. Just a really cool night, man. WrestleMania was so much fun, and that was only night one. Night two kicked it too. Night two was awesome. Like, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed WrestleMania weekend. The tag title match, the triple threat tag title match between RK Bro, Street Profits, and Alpha Academy was solid. Bobby Lashley beat Omos. That was so cool. And I'm going to talk about that Bobby Omos thing in a minute or four. I really enjoyed that Bobby Omos match. I was like one or two people who, like the 10 of us who made predictions that thought Bobby was going to win, and I was correct because Bobby should not be losing, and Omos could easily bounce back by doing what they did on Raw on Monday, and I loved what they did on Raw on Monday, and we'll talk about that shortly. Another huge entertaining match. It could have been the match of the night, but everything, there was a couple other things on this match this night that were so good. Johnny Knoxville beat Sami Zayn. That match was so entertaining and is the epitome of what celebrities can be at WrestleMania. That match was so much fun. So much fun. That's a match I'll go back and watch and enjoy. Loved Sasha and Naomi getting the tag team title win in the Fatal 4-Way match. It's about time Sasha Banks gets her win at WrestleMania. That was a much-needed win for Sasha. And it was great to see her and Naomi on a big stage get the win. Edge and AJ. That was a fun match that went over 20 minutes. As far as in-ring goes, probably the match of the night for sure. Loved the ending. Damian Priest coming out, distracting AJ Styles, allowing Edge to get the win. I was another one who was on that AJ is going to win this, and this feud is going to go on, and it'll probably end at Hell in a Cell. Inside Hell in a Cell in Chicago, I hope to be at that show. And I love the faction that Edge is starting. I'll talk about that in a little bit too. We had Pat McAfee and Austin Theory. That match was awesome. I was very surprised McAfee got the win, but I do think Austin Theory is going to be the guy to merge the U.S. and Intercontinental title. So him losing to Pat McAfee doesn't do anything to hurt his credentials. That match was really good. Pat McAfee is so much fun. And then what made this match really good was, I guess, the second match, Pat McAfee wrestled Vince McMahon. Wrestled, I should put in quotations. Vince beat Pat, but it was the ending of the match that what made it special, because after Vince was beating down Pat, who else came out to make the save? Hold up my beer right now and take a sip. That Texas Rattlesnake himself. He's back. Stone Cold. Stone Cold. Stone Cold. The Rattlesnake's back. He comes out. He acts like he's going to cheers with Vince. Stuns Vince, of course. One of the worst stunners ever. Who cares? Vince is like 88 years old. I'm just kidding, Vince. You're like 72. You still whip my ass. You're a monster. And Vince was looking good, good. Is always stacked. The pythons were out. And afterwards, McAfee and Stone Cold drank beer. Stone Cold stunned McAfee. It was cool. Great moment. The main event, Roman and Brock, it was what it was. Roman was going over. We knew that. The match was really, it was really lackluster. Like, that kind of put a sour note on WrestleMania. I guess Roman was hurt, so they called it short. I don't know. Regardless, WrestleMania was awesome. I give it an A for sure. Great show. I really, really enjoyed myself, and I really like what WWE is doing to follow WrestleMania. There's a whole fucking slew of things going on. On the Raw side, you have Edge's new stable with Damian Priest, and there's other rumored names to be joining it with Rhea Ripley and Ciampa, which would be great. And then you also have Austin Theory had changed his name. Now he is just Theory. You have Finn Balor defending the United States Championship against Austin Theory next week on Raw. So I would anticipate Theory getting that championship, eventually taking on Ricochet for the Intercontinental Championship and taking both of those belts. And the Usos and the Ortons, I almost call them, the Usos and RK-Bro have started their feud. So those tag team championships will be merged here sooner than later. And I would expect the mid-card titles and the women's championships to do that as well. You have one of the cooler parts of Raw that I really enjoyed, Bobby Lashley and Omos. MVP turned on Lashley, joining Omos, giving the big guy a new mouthpiece. So I'm excited to see where that goes. It should really be huge for Omos. And I expect Bobby to stay at the top of the card. Bobby is going to be that number one babyface now. And it's been pushing that way for like the last 5 months. And MVP turning on him really, really pushes Bobby to that next level as far as being a face goes. And it's going to help Omos. And then you got Cody. What's Cody going to do? You got Cody Seth Part 2 coming, which is cool. I'm excited to see that. Ideally, Cody wins. I love Seth. We all know I love Seth. But I think a loss here hurts Cody. I don't think we should go Cody Seth 3 at the pay-per-view after that, which might be Hell in a Cell. I'd have to double-check that. But I don't think Cody should lose here. I think Cody should get the win. And I'm really excited that Cody's here. Him and The Miz had a great segment on Raw this past Monday. And we got Veer. Veer showed up, finally. That was cool. Veer's here to fuck with the Mysterios. And I think that, and then we got Ezekiel. Ezekiel's here. Ezekiel is the younger brother of Elias, and he is shredded, and he doesn't have a beard, and his hair is a little bit shorter, and it's not wet. And him and KO got some things going on. So that's the Raw side of things. And in the women's picture, Sonya Deville is seemingly the next challenger for Bianca Belair. Becky might get a little bit of rest. Sonya is going to challenge Bianca, it looks like. Over on SmackDown, Happy Corbin turned on Madcap Moss. So it's been, the writing's been on the wall over the last couple of weeks for that. Moss has been one of those guys who WWE has been pushing. That's why he was in that feud with Drew. He wrestled a good match with him. He got dropped on his head, but he wrestled a good match with him. He won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. So Moss is a guy that they're going to try to push as a face. And other than that, there's really not too much going on the SmackDown side of things. The show wasn't a bad show on Friday, ironically, but there's really just not a whole lot going on SmackDown. And that's your after WrestleMania wrap up. That's your WrestleMania wrap up. I fucking loved WrestleMania. It was a hell of a show. WrestleMania weekend was awesome. And that was like the wrap of WrestleMania. And before that, we had a couple of shows, a couple of cool independent shows. We had Josh Byrne at Bloodsport. I watched. I really enjoyed that. I got a couple of pieces here and there, some of the GCW stuff. And then I watched ROH Supercard of Honor, which was fan-fucking-tastic. The Briscoes and FTR were so good. That match was classic. It was such good tag team wrestling. And then at the end of the night, Samoa Joe during the show, Jay Lethal turned heel. During his match with Lee Moriarty, he made a heel turn. He low-blowed him, turned heel. After the match, beat him down. The end of the night, after Jonathan Gresham defeated Bandido to keep the belt, Jay Lethal came out, went at Gresham. And then Samoa Joe fucking came out, and the place went crazy. So Samoa Joe will be wrestling tonight on Impact against Minoru Suzuki for the ROH Television Championship, which Suzuki won at Supercard of Honor, which was one of many title changes. And we had Mercedes Martinez take the interim championship. She defeated Willow Nightingale for the women's interim championship, which Deonna Purrazzo holds the ROH title right now, ROH women's title right now. So I'd imagine those two will clash down the road. I gotta think Martinez is gonna take that belt and beat Purrazzo, so it'll be interesting to how they go about that. But Supercard of Honor was awesome. Wheeler Yuta won their title as well, or won the television title. Not the television title. I think he won their NEVER title. So it was good to see Wheeler Yuta with the championship. And Wheeler Yuta had a hell of a week. Like, wrestling just didn't stop. The week after WrestleMania, Friday night, Rampage, Wheeler Yuta wrestled Jon Moxley, and Wheeler Yuta became a made man. Wheeler Yuta joined the BCC. He got his ass whooped by Moxley and just wouldn't fucking quit. Mox got the win, but Yuta got the respect. Yuta's now in the BCC. Yuta was spraying blood. I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you saw the Wheeler Yuta gifts and everything all over Twitter. The blood just kind of spewing from his head. That was super cool. FTR and the Young Bucks threw down on Dynamite this past week. And CM Punk made it clear he is going for the AEW championship. And I'm all for that. I'm all in on the CM Punk championship run. And why wouldn't I be all in on the CM Punk championship run? I mean, CM Punk, CM Punk, CM Punk. I'll scream until I die, baby. So I can't wait for him to beat Hangman. And that'll happen in May. For sure. That'll happen at the end of May in Las Vegas. You wait. That's all I got. We got a hell of a Dynamite in store for you tonight. I'm excited. They got seven matches. Seven fucking matches. I don't know how they're going to squeeze that all into 2 hours. I mean, I guess there'll be a couple short matches. The show looks like a lot of fun tonight. You have CM Punk wrestling Penta. You have Samoa Joe taking on Minoru Suzuki for the ROH Television Championship. And You have Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland teaming up to take on Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs, Marina Shafir and Sky Blue. So there's some good stuff going on Dynamite tonight, and I'm sure I'm missing some shit. I think maybe I might even miss the main event, but there's some good stuff going on Dynamite tonight. I'm excited to watch it. And wrestling's been great this week. NXT was really good last night. They crowned new tag team champions. Pretty Deadly are the new tag team champions after Nash Carter got fired from the WWE. It'll be interesting to see where Wes Lee goes. I forgot to mention on SmackDown, I guess I missed a couple of things with SmackDown. My bad. Gunther debuted with Marcel Bartel, and he is now going to be called Ludwig. And Raquel Gonzalez debuted, and she will be Raquel Rodriguez. And Los Lotharios were trying to court her. And I think that's all that happened on SmackDown. and that's kind of your rewind, man. I loved wrestling this past week. I didn't see NXT. I need to watch that Gauntlet tag team match. The Creed brothers are my fucking dudes. Oh, the Hall of Fame. Damn. Yeah, the Hall of Fame was awesome. I fucking The Undertaker, I cried twice during the Hall of Fame. I'm not gonna sit here and lie. I'm a crier. I don't care. I have nothing to hide. I cried during the Undertaker speech but I cried when he came out there and you just saw Mark Calloway walking around in tears. And I was like, fuck, man, this guy who we watched for all these years is only in character, and now he's just flowing with the tears from his eyes. And I was like, that hit me a little bit for sure. And then come on, Shad, when his widow was out there and his baby boy JTG, oh my god, that hurt. But the Hall of Fame was really good. Shad's widow was great, and the Undertaker was fantastic. The Steiner brothers were awesome. I enjoyed Vader's family. His wife and kid were good. And Queen Charmella was awesome too. So I really enjoyed the Hall of Fame ceremony. What you're getting from me is I really fucking enjoyed WrestleMania weekend. It was awesome. From like when I was getting off of work Friday, I was like fucking getting antsy. And I think like if I remember correctly, Bloodsport was Thursday. So I think I watched Bloodsport Thursday, and like Friday, I'm like fucking freaking out because there's all these wrestling shows that were starting, and I'm like, I got so much to watch. And like, it's like 5:30. I need to go get beer. I got like shit to do. It's like becoming like 7:30. Like, fuck, come on. But I got my wrestling fix in. I did get to see some of Impact Multiverse. It was good. Like Impact had a lot going on this weekend. So professional wrestling is in a good spot right now. And that is all I have for you. I appreciate you tuning into the show. If you listened, if you stayed, if you just checked out a little bit, if you're just checking it out now, thank you. I will be more active with the Wrestling Index. The Wrestling Index website will be back actually up and running probably by Friday, honestly, to this Wednesday. Probably by the time you actually listen to this, the Wrestling Index website will be back up and running. All of my podcasts, Wrestling Index podcasts, will be back on there. All my wrestling content will be back on there. And then you'll catch all my sports content on floorslappers.com. So that's kind of how I'm going to diversify the content and keep it separate. But we're going to be talking sports on Floor Slappers and wrestling on the Wrestling Index. I'm going to try to do Wrestling Index at least once a week. I'm going to shoot for twice a week. It might be hard because I get together with the wrestling idiots once a week, and I'm going to try to bring on a guest with me talking wrestling on here. I'm talking whatever the hell is going on, whatever's the hot topic, maybe old school pay-per-view. I want to get my guy Mike Dog on here to talk a little bit of old school wrestling sometime. So we'll be doing fun things. Check out floorslappers.com for the Floor Slappers podcast, and check out the wrestlingindex.com. for this podcast, and go to Anchor, Spotify, YouTube for the Wrestling Index podcast. You can find me on Twitter at The Rez. That's WREZ Index. That's The Rez Index. Hit me up, man. I'm fucking talking wrestling all the time. Me and the idiots were fucking having a blast. So check it out. And thank you for tuning into this show. I'll catch you guys on the flip side. Enjoy Dynamite tonight. Enjoy Rampage on Friday.